Who's it going to be this week, huh? Continuing in our series called Wicked Women. Now, as I attempted to explain last time, we're not here to beat up on women. And that's not the point of it at all. The point is that you women face degrees of wickedness us men don't face. And there are things that you've got to deal with that we'll never have to deal with. And so the serpent is going to attack you. You are his primary target, as we saw last time with Eve, right? So there are things that you're going to have to deal with that we'll never have to deal with. And we're, you know, the truth is that we're all wicked, right? We all have wickedness in us. But we don't have to be wicked, right? So this is what we're looking at. Now today we're going to be looking at a wicked woman who we know very, very little about. Very little is said about her in the scriptures at all. In fact, there is not one word recorded that she said in the whole Bible. Not one. But Jesus said to remember her. And the idea behind remembering her was because of her wickedness. So we're going to be looking at this particular woman today in the scripture. So let's get started with what Jesus said. This is what he said about this particular person in Luke chapter 17 and verse 28. I'm sorry, I'm relapsing back into Luke, but Luke 17:28 says, it was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, painting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one who is on the roof of his house with his goods inside should go down to get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. Here it is. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever tries to keep his or her life will lose it. And whoever loses his life will preserve it. Lot's wife. Now, how many of you really believe what the scriptures say about Sodom and Gomorrah and the evil wickedness of it and the destruction that the Bible says? Do you really believe that? Yes. Well, see, a lot of people don't. And that's frightening, because right here Jesus gave a verification that it really happened. And I was reminded as I was preparing and studying, you know, this is how the serpent came to Eve. He asked that question. You know, has God really said? Do you really believe this? Has God really said? And with that one question, he injected wickedness into humanity. With that one question, what he did was release the most wicked, the most deadly, the most hellish force that's ever been injected into humanity. What he did was he gave us the presumption that what God said is subject to our questioning, to our judgment, to our evaluation, to our assessment. That is the beginning of wisdom. Excuse me. That is the beginning of wickedness. It is the loss of wisdom. The beginning of wickedness is always when we begin to doubt God's word. That begins. So no matter what your sexual preference is, no matter what you think about Sodom, Gomorrah, and its influence on our modern society and modern family, no matter what your thought is, don't doubt what God said. Don't question. Don't assess it. Don't judge what God said, because that only means that you are stepping into wickedness. Because what God said about Sodom and Gomorrah is it was wicked. Now let me show you. Genesis 13:13. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you down a flash track of Lot's wife. And to do that, of course, I've got to hook up back with Lot. I've got to go back to him because she's with Lot all the way through this tale, this story, this assessment of what Jesus told us. Lot was the nephew of the great patriarch named Abraham. Abraham was the father of the Hebrew nation. This is who Abraham was. Abraham had heard from God to get out of Ur of the Chaldees and to go to a land that he would show him, that God would show Abraham. Abraham began to do that. He began to follow God, and as Abraham followed God, Lot followed Abraham. Lot's family followed Abraham's family, and they went into the land of Canaan, into the promised land that God told Abraham he would take him into. Now, over the course of time, they both became exceedingly wealthy, both Abraham and Lot. Under the blessings of God, they became rich. Very, very rich, right? And so rich. And in those days, the way richness or wealth was established is not by how much currency you had, how much money you had, but by how much livestock you had. What are your possessions? That's how it was. And they had so much livestock, the land could not sustain both of them. And the herdsmen of Abraham's flocks and the herdsmen of Lot's flocks began to have this dissension. And so Abraham went to Lot and he said, "Nephew, we can't have this. Here's what we're going to do. We've got to depart. We've got to separate. If you want to go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you want to go to the left, I'll go to the right. But don't let there be any dissension between us. I love you. I don't want there to be a problem here." So here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that Lot looked towards Sodom. There was something about Sodom. There was something about this wicked city that was drawing Lot. He looked towards Sodom, and the plains were green for his livestock. And so the next thing the Bible says is Lot cast his tents or pitched his tents towards Sodom or near Sodom. The next thing it says is Lot's living in Sodom. Now, he knew it was wicked. Lot knew Sodom was a wicked, wicked city, but yet he moved his family there. Now, here's where I want to go. Usually what I do is I build a point and I develop it and then give it to you after I've developed it. What I want to do this time is I want to go ahead and give you the point and then we'll develop it, its substance. We'll see the reality of what I'm showing you here so that you can be able to see it as we move through this story of this wicked woman, Lot's wife. Now, recall last time when we were talking about Eve, how the serpent came to the woman. And he came to the woman and he asked her that question and he convinced her that it would be okay if she was to eat of the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And she ate it. She said, it says that she saw that it was good looking. She knew that it would be good for the taste and that it would be good for wisdom. It was the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And then it said that she took it and she ate it. And then it says that she gave it to her husband who was there, and he ate it too. And then I showed you in 1 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 14, where the Bible says that the man, Adam, was not deceived. It was the woman who was deceived. And we projected that question, well, why did he eat it if he wasn't deceived? The serpent didn't deceive the man, it deceived the woman, but why did Adam then eat it if he wasn't deceived? And I showed you. It's because of the influence that the woman has on the man. There is an amazing influence for any woman to take her man to righteousness or to wickedness. You've heard it said, she's the neck that turns the head. We talked about it, the quote last time. Oliver Wendell Holmes said, man has his will. Woman has her way. We've heard it in so many ways, but we all know this is true. A woman has such influence on her man to take him in any direction, nearly to eat this thing that's going to cause his life to just totally dispense and go into evil. He lost everything because of this. This is the influence and the power that a woman has on a man. Now, so with that said, with that thought, what influence then was Lot's wife having on him concerning moving his family into this wicked city of Sodom? Was she encouraging him? Was she attempting to discourage him? Was she not saying anything? No, that ain't happening. But what was going on here? Right? I mean, what was she saying? See, and we're not told per se. We're not told per se what she was saying or what she was doing. But if you know how the story goes, and we're going to read it, but if you know how the story goes, what's so interesting here is that just before God is about to judge this wicked city and bring down sulfur rain and fire upon it, before this has happened, he's trying to get Lot and Lot's family out of there. And as they're coming out, it is the woman who looks back. It is Lot's wife who looks back and who is judged. Not Lot. The woman. It is the woman who has this tremendous pull back to this wicked city that is being destroyed. What is the influence? Why was she not using her guiding influence to get her family away from this wicked city? Now, you know, I mean, I love a woman. I think it's the greatest thing in the world that a woman loves her man. Stand by your man. I think it's great. Stick with him. Right? I love that. I'm all about that. But there comes a time in a woman's life, in her marriage, that she's got to take a stand against wickedness. And she's got to say, I'm not going there. And this is especially true when their children are involved. When her children are in the balance, when her children are at stake here, she has got to take a stand and say, I'm not going there. You go, I'm going back to mama. But I'm not going. And she's got to do that. Am I right, people? Am I here? Okay, you with me? Okay, good deal. Good deal. Now, so, you know, here's the deal. If you are a righteous woman and you've been married for any length of time at all, then there has been that time in your marriage where you have stood and said, I ain't doing it. I'm not going to go there. We're not going to do that. Now you do it. I'll go back to mama, but I'm not in this. So this is where she is. And she had two daughters. Two daughters. And we're going to read the story. But what happened is they became so vile. It is absolutely unbelievable. It is unbelievable what these two daughters did. Where was her influence? Not only her influence on her husband, but her influence on her children. Why? See, the Bible doesn't say one word she ever said, and her silence is deafening. Her influence is powerful. Where does she take her family? With her influence, what did she do to the family? Did she take them to righteousness, or did she take them to wickedness? Because woman, you've got that power. Deborah, are you saying that it was her fault that Lot moved his family into this wicked city of Sodom? Is that what you're saying? No. What I'm saying is that it is her fault that she didn't get out of Sodom. That it is her fault that she didn't move her children out of that wicked city. That's what I'm saying. I don't care what part she actually played in the moving to Sodom. What her part was to get them out of there. Okay, now, this is what we're talking about. See, now, let's make this in our modern society, because everybody knows a Lot's wife. You know, Lot was wealthy. And he provided his wife with a great lifestyle. Nice home, all the essentials, all the niceties of the nicest camel. I mean, they had it all. They had the best of everything. You know, she lived this life. Was it that she was so comfortable in her life that she just didn't want to leave that, but was willing to sacrifice her children? It happens every day. We all have known situations like this where the woman stayed because it was comfortable. Or maybe she was afraid to get out on her own. Didn't want to lose her man. Didn't want to get out and have to work or whatever. But it still sacrificed her children. Is this right? See, why didn't she get him out of there? She could have gone back to Uncle Abraham. She could have done anything. But instead, she just stayed there. And her children became the vilest girls, the vilest daughters in all the Bible. We're going to look at this. So here's the bottom line of this, what I'm attempting to say to you. Is there any reason that a woman should remain in an environment when her children are at stake? Okay. There's not. So, with that said, we're going to do a flash glimpse here now of what took place here in Sodom. We're going to look at nearly the entire chapter 19 of the book of Genesis. But where I've got to back up to and begin at is in chapter 18, where we are given a Christophany. Now, let me tell you what that is. It's an appearance of Christ, and it's usually thought of as in the Old Testament, because that's where things like this are written. But you can have a Christophany. I think I have had a Christophany. It's where Christ appears to you in a real form. But this is what happened in chapter 18, verse 1, as Christ and two angels appear and come to Abraham. And they come and they have a meal with Abraham. It's a long section. It goes all the way through verse 19. And they're eating together and they're fellowshipping. And the primary thing that he's telling to Abraham is that Abraham is about 100 years old and he's 99 at the time. Sarah's about 90 years old. She's 89 at the time. And what he's saying to them is that this time next year, you're going to have a child. Now, that's pretty miraculous, but that's not where we're going with this. As he's finished up with his deal with Abraham, he reveals what he's about to do to Sodom. And so let's read it. Genesis 18:20. Then the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin so grievous." Now this is the environment in which Lot and Mrs. Lot is raising their children in this grievous, sinful environment. And he says, "It's so grievous that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry." In other words, I'm getting these reports. And they're so bad, I've got to go see myself. "As bad as the outcry that has reached me. And if not, I will know." He says, "It's so bad that what I'm going to have to do to it and judge it, I have got to make sure that it is as bad as I'm being told." Wow. So, Abraham knows that his nephew and his nephew's family is living in this grievous city. And he knows how grievous this city is. So he goes to work, attempting to entreat the Lord. And this is where he says, "Lord, let me ask you something. You know, if there are 50 righteous there, if they're just 50 righteous there, would you destroy it if there's 50 righteous there?" And the Lord says, "No, I won't." So Abraham said, "Well, let me ask you one more thing. And I don't want to overstep my boundaries. You know, I don't want to get you upset with me." But he says, if there's 45 righteous there, would you destroy it for 45? And the Lord says, "No, I won't." So he keeps doing this. He goes to 40. He goes to 30. He goes to 20. Finally, he goes to 10. He says, "Would you destroy it if there's 10? Would you destroy it if there's just 10 righteous?" And the Lord says, "No, I won't." Well, Abraham thinks he's got it made. But as you know the story, there were not even 10 righteous there. The Bible says, in Peter, 1 Peter, says that righteous Lot, now you got to read the rest of it. He was righteous, but then his soul was vexed by that wicked city. You get around wickedness, it will vex your soul. It will take away your righteousness. Now, I want to show you this. I want to show you this, what happened. So these angels come to Sodom. It's late in the evening. And what they would do in those days is they would have city council out at the gate. all the leaders of the city would sit around at the gate, and they would decide with the decisions for the city right there. Well, it was late, and they were having their little meeting, I suppose, and these two angels, but they appear as men. And you need to know this. Angels in the Bible don't have wings. They don't have feathers. They always appear just like a man. So these two angels who appear as men comes walking up. Well, Lot sees them, and he gets up and he welcomes them, and he invites them to come to his house for a meal and stay there the night. And they said, no, we're going to stay in the square of the city because, you know, that's where we're going to stay. Well, what they were doing is they were trying to find 10 righteous people, and they weren't going to find them in Lot's house. So that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to stay there. And so he says, oh, no, you can't stay in the square here. No, that's not a good thing to do here. No. You got to come home with me. And he keeps on and keeps on until he finally gets them to go to his house. But it doesn't take long. It doesn't take long for the horrible wickedness to begin. So let me read it to you. Verse 4, Genesis 19. Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old. Who does that leave out? I mean, that's pretty encompassing, isn't it? surrounded the house. Now, this is not a prayer circle. They surrounded the house, and they called Lot. Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them. This is the environment in which Lot's wife is raising her children. Next verse, verse 6. Lot went outside to meet them and shut the door behind him and said, "No, my friends. Don't do this wicked thing." Did Lot know this was wicked? Did everybody there know this was wicked? Did Mrs. Lot know this was wicked? Everybody knew this was wicked. Now, I appreciate that he said, "My friends." And I'm going to try to express something to us. He said, "My friends." Lot had become too friendly with wickedness. Now, work with me. Let me express to you what I'm attempting to say. I think every single one of us needs to have friends that are of a homosexual persuasion, but not be friends with their wickedness. I have homosexual friends. Probably many of us have homosexual relationships and relatives. You got to be friendly with them. They're your friends. They're your relatives. But you don't be friendly with their wickedness. And we all should have. There's no way we're going to influence their lives if we condemn. There's no way we're going to bring them to a place where they can meet God in reality in the way they need to if we condemn. But we can't be friends with the wickedness. And what happens when we remain in wickedness is we become wicked. You may remain around wickedness of homosexuality, but never be a homosexual. But you will become wicked. This is what happened to Lot. Let me show you what happened. Let me look at this next verse. This next verse, to me, is more wicked than the Sodomites. I think Lot became more wicked than the Sodomites. Verse 8. Lot speaking, "Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do what you like with them." What? How wicked is that? I mean, where is Miss Lot? Where? My wife, I wouldn't have to wait on God to judge me. She would have my head. The thought never would come into me because I'm not around that kind of wickedness. But if you're around that kind of wickedness, those are the kinds of thoughts you begin to have. How wicked. His own daughters. But don't do anything to these men. For they have come up under the protection of my roof.
What? What?
Now listen, this is wicked. And this is what happens whenever you remain in wickedness. Woman, wife, mother, you got to hear this. You got to direct your family, your children, your husband away from this stuff. Your children are in the balance. So what happens is now they go off on Lot. They get angry. They're lustful. They're yelling and screaming. And they tell him, get out of our way. And if you don't get out of our way, we'll do to you what we want to do to those men in your house. They're going to rape Lot. And so these angels have had enough. That's all we need to see. So they supernaturally get Lot back into the house and blind all the men. Now, if there was ever any doubt that these guys weren't supernatural, that should have proved it to them. But do you think that even knowing these two are supernatural and angels of God, that it influences them to leave this city? I'm going to show you. They still didn't want to leave after all of this has happened. This is what the influence of wickedness. You remain in wickedness, you become wicked. Your thought life, you became depraved. You don't think right. You become perverted. Things are wrong. And you just become wicked. So what they do is they say to Lot, do you have any more family here? Then go get them, and we got to get them out of here because we're about to destroy this place. And they specifically mention sons-in-law. And so Lot does. This is so strange. He and Mrs. Lot are going to allow their daughters to marry sodomites. It said all. What? Where is her influence? Where is her influence with her daughters? One of the most precious things that a mother does with a daughter is the marriage, is the wedding, is that time. What is going on here? What's wrong with these people? Really, Delbert? What's wrong with them? Is they're in wickedness? Nobody's guiding them out of wickedness. Lot goes and finds these guys and says, hey, look, these guys, they're supernatural. They're angels of God. And they say that God's about to destroy this place. And they thought he was joking. The ones that would be the sons-in-law thought Lot was joking. You know why? Because he was a joke. Okay. So, it's about to go now. Okay, in verse 15. With the coming of the dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, hurry! Take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away with this city in punishment. When this city is punished, God is punishing it. What did he do? Oh, yeah, let's get out of here. What did he do? When he hesitated. When he hesitated, you wouldn't have to. I mean, think about that. Why would you hesitate? These guys have just threatened to rape you. And the angels of God are saying this place is about to be destroyed. And you, yeah, and you're a joke anyway. What are you hesitating about? Why? When he hesitated, the men grasped his hands and the hands of his wife and his two daughters and drug them, led them safely out of the city. They had to drag them out. When you hang with wickedness, you become wicked. You don't think right anymore. This is crazy. Drug them out of the city. For the Lord was merciful to them. I guess so. He was trying to save Lot and his family for Abraham's sake. But I'm thinking, they're really the ones who need to be burned up. As soon as they had brought them out, one of the angels, said, flee! Flee for your lives! Now, the word flee is used four times, three times by these angels. What is there about flee for your lives you don't get? Flee for your lives, and here it is, don't look back. That's a direct command. Don't look back. If you do, if you don't flee, and if you look back, and you stop, he says, and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains. Now, the mountains would have probably been where Abraham was, and they were trying to direct him to get to Abraham. Now, flee to the mountains, or you will be swept away. Now, what Lot does is he starts arguing with the angels. I don't want to go to the mountains. I want to go to Zoar. Zoar's just a little bitty city. It won't be too wicked. I go to Zoar. Let me go to Zoar. The angel says, okay, go to Zoar. I won't destroy Zoar. You can go to Zoar. Zoar means little, but it's go to Zoar. So he lets him go. He goes to Zoar. He's going to go to Zoar. In Genesis chapter 19, verse 23. By the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur. The King James Version says brimstone and fire. Burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of heaven. Have you ever lit a match and that sulfur stuck to your finger and burned you? That hurts, doesn't it? I mean, that's a hot fire. It burns. It burns badly. Well, this is what came down. It rained down sulfur and fire on this whole area. Thus, he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, including all those living in the cities and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Now, if you just read this, this seems pretty drastic. I mean, all she did was look back. I mean, wouldn't you kind of want to look back? Not if the angel told you not to. She looked back. It was a direct rejection of God's word. Just like Eve. Eve was told, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because when you do, you'll die. She looked back. She brought judgment on herself. She decreed her own judgment. Every one of us decree our own judgment. She decreed her own judgment. But what's fascinating to me is that she's the one who's judged. Not Lot. She is. She's the one who turned to look back. She's the one that the pull of Sodom was so hard on, so drastic on, that she could not do what God had said to do. She had to look back. And it cost her her life. It cost her everything. See, the overwhelming wickedness of Lot's wife is her overwhelming silence. Her silence is deafening. And it's in there the wickedness comes. She did not use her ability to guide her husband and guide her children. She just was wicked. She wanted the comforts or whatever the reason was. She loved Sodom. And it cost her her life. God judged her. Now, this is the end of her life, but it's not the end of her legacy. Now, I'm going to read a lengthy section here of Scripture to us. And I didn't write through it. I just put it in here. And I'm going to read through it. It's about her daughters. And I'll inject as we progress through. In Genesis 19, verse 30, Lot and his two daughters left Zoar and settled in the mountains. But these aren't the mountains where Abraham is. These are a different place. Settled in the mountains, for he was afraid to stay in Zoar. It must have been a little wicked. He and his two daughters lived in a cave. Now, let's think about that a second. He was once an extremely wealthy man. Now he's living in a cave. He has nothing. He was only able to escape with what they had on their backs and what they could carry in their hands. Lived in Zoar just a short period of time. Now he's living in a cave with nothing. Why? Because for whatever reason, he was guided and led and allowed to remain in Sodom. And he remained in wickedness. And he lost everything. He's living in a cave with his two daughters. And one day, the older daughter said to the younger, "Our father is old." Hold on to that thought. He's old. Our father's old. "And there is no man around here to lie with us." It means to have sexual relationships with. "To lie with us, as is the custom all over the earth." That's not true. Abraham's not far away. They just left the city of Zor. There's men. It's amazing to me how people justify their wickedness. Let's get our father to drink wine and then lie with him and preserve our family's line through our father. Again, you're just justifying your wickedness. That night, they got their father to drink wine. Now this is, you know, they have nothing. They're living in a cave. All they were able to escape with was what they were wearing and what they could carry. But yet, they come up with wine. I was thinking about that. People live in poverty, have nothing, can't pay their bills, won't work. But they could come up with substance. They could come up with alcohol. They can come up with weed. They can come up with pills. They could come up with intoxicants, but they can't come up with righteousness. They can't come up with the money, but they can come up with this wine stuff, this alcohol stuff. Okay, so the father to drink wine. The older daughter went in and lay with him, and he was not aware of it. When she lay down, or when she got up. Now I don't understand this. He is so drunk, he's passed out, and he's old. I don't understand it. And it's not just happened one time. It's going to happen. I'm thinking, what? I can understand maybe one. Let me read. I'm getting ahead of myself. The next day, the older daughter said to the younger, "Last night I lay with my father. Let's get him to drink wine again. Again tonight. Yeah. And you go in and lay with him. So we can preserve our family's line through our father." Bull. So they got their father to drink wine. And that night also. Okay. And the younger lay down with him when she got. Okay. And the younger daughter went in and lay with him. Again, he was not aware. He was not aware of it when she lay down or when she got up. Now I can understand it once. But twice? So both Lot's daughters became pregnant by their father. The older daughter had a son, and she named him Moab. He is the father of Moabites of today. Moabites were the arch enemies of God's people. They worship Moloch, and the way you worship Moloch was with children sacrifice. Sacrifice your children to Moloch. This was the guidance of Lot's wife. The older daughter had a son, and she named him Moab, and he's the father of the Moabites for today. And the younger daughter also had a son, and she named him Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the Ammonites of today. They're also arch enemies of the people of God and worship idols as well. So from this incestuous situation, we have these two nations that are arch enemies with God's people. And listen, this is what happens when mothers don't raise their children correctly, their daughters correctly, and their children, they become enemies of God. What an epithet. This is the last we hear of Lot. This is it. This is it. He's in a cave. He has nothing. He's living in this cave with his daughters. His wife is dead. He's in an incestuous relationship with his daughters. They're pregnant. What an epithet. But what could have happened if Lot's wife said, I'm not moving to Sodom? What would have happened if she'd have said, no, you can go. I'm going back to Abram. I'm taking the girls with me. What would have happened? Well, first, she wouldn't have lost her life. She wouldn't have lost her daughters. Likely, he wouldn't have went, and they would still be wealthy. The blessings of God be upon their lives. Well, what if she'd went? What if they'd went in there? What if he would have moved anyway and she went with him? Well, she didn't have to stay. Go back to Uncle Abraham. Anything would have been better than this. This is what happens when you remain in wickedness. You become wicked. And the children are the ones who suffer. And what's so sad is probably every single one of us knows Lot's wife. And instead of using her influence to guide her husband to righteousness and her daughters and her children, her sons and daughters to righteousness, you just go towards Sodom. And we live in a wickedness and everything becomes wicked. Our children become wicked. Our thoughts become wicked. Woman, you are powerful. You guide your husband. You will guide him towards righteousness or wickedness. Woman, you are powerful. You will guide your children towards righteousness or towards wickedness. Use your power wisely, but remember Lot's wife. Let's pray.